Chair Kalubna, I will read the questions, therefore, that I have here, and then I'll come back to them, just to give you a heads up on the ones that have been asked. Okay. One is the GCC's investment decisions are not well understood in the nation's capital and the policymaking establishment. When are the GCC countries, either collectively or jointly or individually, going to have an advocacy network or position here to educate the public in the United States on these issues? Second one is, to the extent that you have considered them, what do you consider to be the keys to the UAE's success in the face of so many other previous and during efforts and experiments to bring something comparable into being? What lessons have you learned, and your colleagues, those who have forged the UAE, sustained it, and helped it grow and expand? What lessons would you suggest are particularly worthy of being given serious consideration by others who think in terms of furthering integration schemes or cooperation or coordination schemes among Arab countries? Two more, what lessons were learned from the imbroglio, lack of a better word, 3 years ago, when your country's investment arm tried to establish productive, mutually beneficial, reciprocally rewarding relations with the United States, and yet the ugly head of jingoism, actually racism, came to the fore by some of America's more renowned elected representatives, and the project was still born. Looking at the rearview mirror, what lessons have been learned from that that certainly can be avoided and are being avoided for the period forward? Last one is, anything that you might say about Iran, because whereas Mr. Bohigian or you mentioned 750 American companies in the UAE alone, that number 10 years ago was only 500 for the entire Gulf, from Kuwait, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, and Oman. So 750 in the UAE alone is an extraordinary jump there. But there are also 400,000 Iranians resident in Dubai. And there's this aspect of trade and investment and commercial dynamics between the UAE and Iran and the GCC and Iran. If anything that you might say to educate us about that. I'll go back to the first one. GCC's investment decisions, not well understood in Washington. What steps are afoot or movements are afoot to establish such a presence here to educate the American people on the mutuality of benefit between our peoples? What have been the keys, in your view, to the UAE's success? What lessons learned might be given serious consideration and applicability, potential applicability elsewhere, because people still talk about federation or confederation inside of Iraq. What lessons learned from 3 years ago, and anything that you might educate us about Iran, which is so heavily exposed in your country?
Thank you. All heavy questions. Glad I didn't eat all my lunch. It'd probably be easier if I stood there.
Yes.
And I'll cheat and get some of your questions. First question is really related more of the investment to the GCC and the direction it has towards investment in the U.S. This is a two-way street. I think if you look at the government here, and I'll speak from our own experience with the U.S. government, the idea of investment means that there are opportunities. There are certain requirements on both sides, and it all depends how open or how restrictive the country is that it has for investment. On the U.S. side, when we talk about money coming from the GCC, I could probably cite the example of the United Arab Emirates. We always believed that the CFIUS process was very proper. I think through Dubai Ports issue, we realized that maybe some more transparency was required on both sides. We never believed that the government itself actually had faltered or made something wrong in that process. It was just not the process being communicated all around. So for us, it was understanding the process of the CFIUS and, again, the updated one or the enhanced one that came afterward, and pretty much follow through that. What it makes it clear is it's much more transparent now to see what actually is expected to be the investment, where it's going, and you know it right from day one. And I think that particular process has been very beneficial. What we have seen is, regardless of Dubai Ports, there are a lot more investment from the UAE that had come to the U.S. And if it reflects anything, it reflects the openness of the economy here. When we talk about lack of understanding, you interpreted that's probably maybe prejudice or lack of understanding. For us, it was pure business deals, including Dubai Ports. We didn't look beyond that. We didn't look deeper into that. We just looked at it as a business that was in the wrong time. And we, you know, we just passed it behind our back and continued further development and investment in the U.S. But looking at that, there was a lesson learned. Whenever we talk about the U.S. and we never talk about business and investment in the U.S., we just come to Capitol Hill. It never dawned on us to go beyond. At the end of the day, as David said, you're talking about 5 million people directly impacted by foreign companies in terms of employment and 4 million indirect. We never see that. We are investing in these companies. We're investing in these states. We are investing in these particular factories. But we don't go there. We didn't go. And that was one of our problems. We did not communicate our agenda well. And we've learned from this process that we need the heads up to actually go to these states, go to these particular places, talk about the investment, speak to the people and the manufacturing industries or the sites themselves, and emphasize that the investment is basically to further grow the company, not to shut it down. People are not going to come running out of the UAE to take their jobs. On the contrary, I think if you look at the Commerce Bureau, you'll find that the data supports the fact that actually people are paid better by foreign companies than the U.S. And therefore, the support for a particular investment is to the greater advantage of the people and the industries and the states themselves. So that particular communication was a lesson learned for us. In terms of making sure that we actually have a heads up. I cite that because while we had gone through Dubai Ports problem, Doncaster came next. And it was a concern we had because there was a percentage of Doncaster which had two sites of factories, one in the East Coast and one in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia. And what I did, I actually went and spoke in both places. I communicated with a congressman from Savannah, Georgia. And believe it or not, actually, this was one of the better deals and the easy ones that went through. What it required is just pretty much education and understanding earlier. But that was the lesson we've learned. So I'm not going to stand here and say, well, this is a problem that existed here. There was a lack of understanding and education on our side. We do see the investment going much easier than before because of this communication that we had on both sides. If you look at the investments within the GCC, what we have seen so far is a lot more development in terms of openness and regulation that sprung amongst the GCC countries. There's a lot of investment and wealth that actually going back into these countries. UAE takes on probably the lion's share in terms of foreign direct investment coming to us. You may wonder, for a wealthy place, what does this money mean to us? Why do we want it? It really is not about the money. Foreign direct investment brings a lot of know-how. It brings a lot of technology with it. And for us, it's a transfer of know-how for our people. There are opportunities of new jobs and new skills that we don't have. So it opens up avenues for our youth and young generation for things to learn. It keeps us on our toes, because foreign direct investment money doesn't go to countries that has corruption, or it doesn't exercise the rule of the law. You have to be extremely competitive to actually ask for the money to come to you. So it keeps us disciplined. It keeps us with high marks on indices in terms of benchmarking for competitiveness, for transparency, for regulation. So for the GCC itself, the changes that's taking place, and we've seen a lot of money basically circulated within the GCC amongst ourselves, of investment going, for example, from UAE to Saudi Arabia. There's been money from the Emirates and Saudi and Kuwait and North Africa and some other places. So these investment actually enhances development. It also reflects a positive side about the Middle East, because the money itself being invested in these places means that the development of the laws and the regulation had been enhanced tremendously. Otherwise, the money would not have gone there. So that's quite important on both sides. Key to the success of the United Arab Emirates, I think, if anything, I would say personally, the founder of the country was a legacy that we never forget. And he stays and remains in the hearts of many people, not only in the United Arab Emirates, but in the Arab world and other places. He was a man of tolerance. And I think the key area to the United Arab Emirates hosting over 150 nationalities as part of its working environment says a lot about the nation itself and the way UAE had developed itself. Many times when you have expatriate communities, people coming from outside, sometimes they bring their baggages, and you have to deal with that. But I think the focus within the Emirates, that everybody's focusing on economic development, on growth, having a good environment for families and a good lifestyle for young people, makes people actually focus more on positive attitude and changes where they focus on their own wealth and the involvement. We are grateful for the community that lives in the Emirates, because they contribute to the growth of our GDP. We have all kinds of schools for all different nationalities. We have standards in terms of education graduation, so the kids can actually go to any school worldwide. We have Japanese, German, American, Filipino schools, all the way up to high school. We have international education system as well, private universities. We have INSEAD, we have London Business School, University of Wollongong from Australia, and many others, and more, NYU. So you see more universities coming in there. So for us, creating the right environment of tolerance, I think, is very key to the UAE. And for us, it was a small country with a lot of wealth. Either we sit and be complacent because we have so much wealth, or we expand our economy and we become powerful globally with the contribution of the working people who are coming to the UAE, and actually create a much larger base for our economy. So that's important. UAE, regardless of being one of the highest producer of oil and gas and has a very good reserve in gas and oil, has been a country with a diversification policy from day one. So a lot of the wealth that came through the oil itself and the selling of oil has been reinvested in the Emirates for creating hard infrastructure, highways, utilities, everything, soft infrastructure in terms of regulatory framework, all the different environment required. UAE is considered the most wired in terms of technology in the Middle East, and it sits actually quite high. It is considered one of the top countries in terms of fighting piracy on software. Again, it sits high, comparable to European countries. What's important too, within this diversification, today we find 65% of our GDP is actually in the non-oil sector, and it's growing. That is very critical, because that means that there are all kinds of jobs opportunities for the people. There are a lot of education. Service sector probably counts for 50% of this 65. We had become pretty much the strategic position or the point for exporting knowledge. If you look at Dubai Ports today, Dubai Ports is actually considered one of the largest in the world in terms of maritime operation. We export this knowledge. We manage ports worldwide. If you look in the aviation, Emirates Airlines stands as a flagship for high quality of services. That, again, it differentiates itself from a lot of other airlines. That's an export of culture that exists within the Emirates. If you look at the hotels and the service being provided, you are considered to be the top notch in terms of quality of tourism and hospitality industry. Construction, if you look at the buildings and the architecture, UAE actually has quite a lot of knowledge. So we're no longer an Arab country that sits where we just get consultants and people coming working. We have become capable and able to export some of the knowledge that has evolved and developed with the community that we have to actually compete worldwide. UAE puts its youth and its people first. Education has been a mandate and a requirement, and it also puts its women first. Today we have 4 women ministers. I was the first minister in 2004. We have 4 women ministers. We have 2 ambassadors that recently announced. One to Sweden and one to Spain. We have 2 women captain at Etihad Airlines. We have a first woman judge. So, but if I... But I have to say, it was the men who put these women there. So we should not forget the other half, because we are, it's the other half that put us there first. So it's not about women feminism. It's about equality shared with vision on both sides. The question comes about how did this, the evolution of this federation of the UAE and the structure of the United Arab Emirates. UAE has a 2 structure in terms of regulation, law, and jurisdiction. We have the federal level through the cabinet and the prime minister and the ministers, but there is also quite a lot of liberty and autonomy within the Emirates themselves. And that in itself sometimes creates, a lot of people think it's too much competition, but in reality it's a positive tension. You need to compete sometimes. You need to see who's doing what. It gives a lot of options and openness to develop and evolve differently while you still have the umbrella of the federation itself. Dubai Ports, I think I've already talked about. In terms of Iran, I am not a foreign minister, so I don't think I'll really make a lot of comments. But what I'd like to state that Iran is a neighbor. We can't move ourselves out of there. If you look at the community of Iranians who live in the Netherlands, they live because they're smart people, they have business, they trade, they export. They sit there because UAE is open for everyone. It's not just open for Iranians. And the comment on 750, and you think that's a big number? I think it's a small number. We need more American companies than 750. Thank you very much.